From WYPR in Baltimore, this is The Signal. I'm Aaron Henkin. A neighborhood is kind of like a honeycomb, a nexus of intersecting hopes and fears. And if you think of our dreams and our frustrations as the fuel, you might think of our juxtaposition as the engine. Out of the Blocks is a documentary format I've been working on for a while with my collaborator, musician, and photographer Wendell Patrick. It's a project where we try to tell the truth of a place through the stories of its people. And what we've been learning is that when we put people's stories together, side by side, something kind of magical happens. Each person's story glows a little bit brighter. This summer, Wendell and I got invited to create a version of Out of the Blocks for a MICA exhibition called Locally Sourced. It's a show about Baltimore's Station North neighborhood, with local artists sharing work that reflects on this particular little part of town where we share our lives. The exhibition is up now. It runs through September 21st. It's at the gallery in the Fred Lazarus building down on North Avenue, 131 North Avenue, between Howard Street and Maryland Ave. And I invite you to check it out. We're all really proud of it. What you're about to hear is part of that exhibition. You can hear it in the gallery, of course, and when you go there, you can see videos and photos of the people that you hear. But it's also a project intended for radio as well, for you to hear over the airwaves with no pictures, so you can see it in your own way, on your own terms, and wherever you happen to be right now.
I am manipulating the clay, and I kind of work from the forehead down through the bridge of the nose. Then I'll kind of start manipulating the clay to get the form of the eyes. And then usually what I'll do is I'll take a particular instrument here, I don't know if I have it, and sort of start working out the nose and the mouth. But I actually don't use many tools. I'm using my index and my thumb a great deal. My name is Paula Whaley. I'm here at 2103 North Charles Street, Baltimore, Maryland. It was about 12 years ago, and actually I was kind of looking for a place kind of refuge and healing. And it spoke to me in terms of what I could possibly do here for me, because I was trying to begin again, and it worked for me. I'm just, you know, grateful that I followed, you know, my spirit. At the time, this block across the street, there was three buildings across the street, which was boarded up, and then there was a methadone clinic across the street, so nobody really wanted it. I think the man probably had about six properties, and this was the last one to go. But because of where I come from, you know, I lived in Harlem all my life, and tenement, and dealt with, heroin addiction in terms of, you know, the people that we lived around. So this did not frighten me in that way.
Tell me who some of the faces are in this wall of family photographs.
For some reason, I always start off with, this is my father, David Baldwin Sr., and he died the same day I was born, so I never knew him. This is the only photograph that we have of him. And the photograph in the middle is my oldest brother, James Baldwin. And he has given the world, in terms of literature, some of the most incredible works, I guess, that one can imagine or talk about.
It seems to me that the artist struggle for his integrity must be considered as a metaphor for the struggle which is universal and daily of all human beings on the face of this terrifying globe to get to become human beings.
After the loss of my brother, I was just totally devastated. And I met a young sculptor, and he said, put your hands in some clay. It'll be extremely therapeutic, and it'll help to heal you. I made work for almost a month just doing the heads and the clay work, and then maybe a month later I will start dealing with the torso and the body. I kind of do the manipulation, the pleating, the crinkling of the paper, and then start to dress them. But mainly, I may have about 10 heads done or torsos done before I even start to dress the figures.
Let me ask you a question about the faces. One thing that they all have in common is that their eyes are closed.
Yes, all of the, actually it's always been funny because the children always ask that. And the eyes are closed and I have not, and don't know if I will ever open them. It's simply because my healing and what it has done for me, it's staying in meditation and prayer. And that's why the eyes are closed on all of them.
Yeah, they almost encourage you to do the same.
Yes.
From Station North in Baltimore, it's a special edition of The Signal, Out of the Blocks, a simple concept from the minds of Aaron Hinken and Wendell Patrick, one city, one neighborhood, in its own words, on 88.1 WYPR.
A little shorter than my average piece. Usually I try to go up about 18 feet or something, and I have a 14-foot collapsible ladder, so that gets me up there. So my name is Nether. I'm a Baltimore street artist. In the last about 5 years, I've been putting my artwork up on vacant properties. I'm going to be doing a piece of a lady kind of looking out, kind of in a very dignified sense, holding up her fingers, and her fingers are going to be crossed. Generally, I kind of just chalk a rough outline, like, you know, where the eyes are going to go, where the nose is going to go, and then where the mouth's going to go, and kind of, you know, everything else goes from there.
Map out these eyebrows a little bit.
A lot of street artists, I guess, use spray paint. I use a little bit of spray paint in certain areas. I used to use more, but mainly I use gallons of exterior latex paint. I always kind of do like, you know, sienna, and then go lighter with kind of a pretty classic brown, or sometimes this sweet tea color, like the spray paint. It's just kind of like a little bit of a purple or red. And then usually for my lights, I use, I think it's like called like hemp buttermilk, is actually the name of the Gildan paint, and or the tone. But that's usually what I use for my highlights, and then sometimes if I'm going real detailed on the shading, I'll just throw like little dashes of white as well.
Dude, this is like awesome, man. I really like it. How many times have you actually done this?
I mean, a few hundred. A lot of my earlier stuff was kind of like on paper, and then I put it up with the glue, you know, the wheat paste stuff.
Yeah.
You've seen, but like recently I've been some kind of like painting more murals, but in murals probably about like 20 around Baltimore.
I've probably seen a couple of them downtown.
Yeah, a few over in Station North, a bunch over kind of like Sandtown, like about around like the A-Rabber stables and stuff. Like,
I see them all the time. And like, I'm like, I don't know who keeps doing this, but they're doing a good job. Dude, yeah. It's great. All right, thanks, man. All right, see you later.
I'm from Baltimore. I like love my city and rep it to the death. But at the same time, like I'm a white boy in a black neighborhood. And I think there's a lot of artists who aren't conscious of these things. You know, they just see a wall and an opportunity. I see it as more of like a conversation starting tool. I see that, that's what I see street art as.
It's a refreshing because normally this alley is full of trash and degradation, and now it seems like you're bringing life to it. And you're depicting Baltimore's essence of people on the wall. She looks like she has a whole lot of hope. And that's basically what you need in this city is hope. And without hope, the city is doomed.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to a special edition of Out of the Blocks Station North. From radio producer Aaron Hinken and music producer Wendell Patrick on The Signal, 88.1 WYPR in Baltimore.
This round rack here, of colorful pieces, mostly shirts from West Africa, which would be mostly Ghana, because that's where I'm from, that's where I have the most sources. We have some from Nigeria, we have some from Senegal. Over here on this rack, we have the more formal wear with embroidery. We love embroidery, and we also love color, as you can see. My name is Esther Armstrong. Most people call me Mama Kiki or Mama Esther. We are at 2442 North Charles Street, Sankofa African and World Bazaar. I started the shop really as a favor to a friend of mine. She used to be my student actually when I was teaching in Ghana. And she came over to the US with a group of small-time cottage industry people from Ghana, and I helped market their products, which were very, very well-made, exquisite African clothing. So I helped her market them, and when it was time for them to go back home, she left a bunch of things with me and said, you know, see if you can sell them. So I sold them to some of my friends, and that was the beginning, because people then kept calling me and wanting more stuff.
This is a go-go bell, a small balafon, vira or kalimba. I'm Jim Clemmer. I'm Esther's husband, even though we have different last names. It's official. And I'm her assistant here, and I'm the curator at the shop.
This random fellow was cruising North Charles Street. I can't remember what where he was headed, but he saw this African shop. So I guess he stopped and came upstairs, and as he tells his story, he says he wasn't, how do you put it?
Well, I was looking for something African, and I found it, a wife. I was actually on my way to do an estimate. I moved down here from Pennsylvania to sell German retractable awnings for decks and patios. And for once, I was early, and I had a little time to kill. And so I thought, let me go in and check this out. And that's what happened.
You went from being a retired retractable awning salesman to an expert in African art. I mean, this is not a common career progression. How did your interest and your study progress? I mean, how did you become knowledgeable to the point where you are now?
I taught world cultures. I was a high school teacher a long time ago in a previous life. But eventually, this whole study was before me, and it seemed like the thing to do. You know, I started getting books on it and teaching myself.
What you have here are two tribal wedding pieces.
This pair of figures is from a group.
They live along about 90 miles.
These are from
here's a piece.
It's the Newfoundland people way in the north of Ivory Coast.
That's how it goes, and I easily say it's a white guy who knows more about the African act than the African woman. Go figure.
They're actually tribal pieces.
He can talk.
From the minds of radio producer Aaron Hinken and music producer Wendell Patrick, this is Out of the Blocks Station North on 88.1 WYPR in Baltimore.
My name's Jason C. Hoylman, and we're at 405 East Oliver Street at the 405 building, also home of the gallery space area 405. Why don't you guys come inside, and we'll give you a tour of the building. Lock that top bolt behind you. As you can see, there's kind of a ridiculous amount of scrap metal and tools and rust and just anything and everything you could possibly think of back here. Maze. We're going to go through this door and make a right. Across, and there's a few more studios in it. So we're going to go down the stairs to the first landing and make a left. Then we make another left.
A little hallway here. We're going to go through a set of fire doors and make a right turn.
Double doors at the end of the hallway is our studio. Two small buckets of little brushes. jars of paint, squirts everything from shellac to general house paint. I tend to buy like a really nice industrial grade acrylic and then add thick artist paint to it to kind of make my own thinner paints so that it's almost like glazing with acrylics. Palm sander, because I actually like to be able to take like a palm sander to the painting every once in a while to either expose layers underneath or get rid of certain bumps or whatever, make things really nice and smooth. That's a visual example. This one's probably about 36 inches square. There's one large central panel, has a Necker cube on it and some other traditional math diagrams. Essentially, you have a regular cube that you think of. If you're drawing a cube in accurate perspective, you kind of generally see like a corner. And a Necker cube is a different form of perspective that allows you to kind of see more of the actual object. So it's not technically correct as far as the human eye sees, but it illustrates more clearly. This front square, say like that's the front. And then you look at the other side of it and that becomes the front. And once you notice that particular shift, that it moves kind of in place, you experience what's known as a cognitive rupture, and you can no longer see it in just one position anymore. Those ideas of perception and what you see and what you don't get to see and what you're paying attention to and what you're not paying attention to and what you miss, like all of those things are of interest to me, basically. That is actually a 3D cube puzzle called a Bedlam cube that I've never been able to solve. It's a really fun trick to give to people who think they're really good at puzzles like that. And then they go over in the corner and they end up being over there for like an hour and a half. And then they get really frustrated and they order their own and they sit at home and do it.
You should keep that at the bar for people who are bothering you.
I used to, actually.
You're tuned in to a special edition of The Signal. Out of the Block, Station North, a neighborhood in its own words, on 88.1 WYPR.
I started on the corner of North Avenue and Harford, selling flowers on the corner for Mother's Day and Easter. The money that I made, I said I have to do something with it. And I said, I need a flower shop. I would like for it to be on a corner where a lot of traffic, and this was the perfect spot. Been here through the good times and the bad times. A lot of business open and close. At one time, I was the only business on this block. My name is Vanda Pearson, owner of Pearson's Florist, 1 East North Avenue. There are three McCalls. That's Margaret, that's partner, and this one right here is Yo. Yo is my first bird. When I got Yo, I had him for about 3 months and I couldn't think of a good name. I put him out on the front and the public would walk by and play with him and say, hey yo, hey yo, and I just heard yo so much where I said, why not?
If you do touch their beak, they won't bite you. If you do this in front of their mouth, they be like biting you.
What's your name?
Marte.
Do you like hanging out here in Grandpa's shop?
Yes.
Does he let you help arrange the flowers?
Yes.
How old are you?
6.
I'm hoping that I can teach my grandson everything I know. But as you see, he's 6 years old and he got a lot of play in him, but he's a good communicator. So hopefully he could learn the trick of the trade and the skill. Pom-poms, carnations, orchids, rose lilies, Casanova, pom-poms, daisies, gladiolus, snapdragons,
different shades and colors.
If I don't have it in stock, all I could do is pick up the telephone in less than an hour, I could have it in here. I'm timing myself because I'm the only one that makes all the arrangements. And if I got like 4 or 5 funerals in that one day, if it's 6 hours of work, I have to do it in 3 hours. Hoping that the phone is not ringing off the hook, or a lot of customers are coming in. So once that starts to happen and I have to do it, then I have to speed myself up to make sure I'm on time with everything. And then right after you finish working hard, then you have to say, okay, thank the Lord, I got everything out on time and everything's gone. And then you look around and then you say, I gotta clean this mess I made up. And then that's another hour and a half, 2 hours of cleaning up what you done messed up.
Hello, Pierce's.
Okay, 1 o'clock is fine. Okay. I just thank the Lord that he blessed me with the talent that I can compete with just about anybody and, you know, get the job done and be having fun while I'm doing it and just knock it out. And my loyal customers that comes and patronize me and say, I came all the way from Randalltown. I came all the way from here, there, because I won't get my flowers from nowhere else. And that's a blessing too. So keep coming.
From radio producer Aaron Hinken and music producer Wendell Patrick, it's Out of the Blocks, Station North, on the Signal, 88.1 WYPR in Baltimore.
Adjustable wrenches, pipe cutters, files, and hammers, and over here, the wall of saws, clamps, squares. My name is Natalia Backus. I'm one of the tool librarians at the Station North Tool Library. We're at 417 East Oliver Street in Baltimore. Under here, we have our drawers where there's more tools sorted. Tape measures, stud finders, knives, chisels. We're like a book library, but with tools.
My name is Jeffrey Gates. I've borrowed everything from, you know, bandsaws, jigsaws, you know, a drill when I need it or for around the house.
To become a member, you make a donation, and then you're a member for a year.
It's great because I can live in a city, and I don't have a lot of the storage capabilities, and I don't have the money to buy a lot of these big tools that I need. And so it's great to have this huge supply of tools right across the street from my house.
You can borrow up to 8 tools at a time, keep it out for 1 week, and if you need to renew it for a second week, you can either call or come in to renew it. Now that we also have the workshop space, if you take a safety class, you can work on your own projects during open shop time or take one of the classes that are offered.
That's our drill press. So that's the sound of the thickness planer. This is our jointer. That's the sound of the table saw. So this is a buffer. That is just basically a big vacuum cleaner. So I'm Armand Mazzani. Maybe 3 or 4 months ago, they started building out this space as a resource for the members to come and have a space to work and have professional shop tools to kind of do their thing. So I offer a lot of technical advice if the person wants it. We're also like really big on not hovering, and like we really try not to be know-it-alls and make people feel very comfortable to come in here and not know how everything works and just learn themselves.
My name is David Meyer. This is an old IKEA shelf that I had for a year. I built it. It was rickety as hell, and so I took it apart, and now it's becoming handy little crates. I'm gonna put all my stuff in them.
There's a sort of empowering capacity to being able to fix things yourself or, you know, do projects, build things, and so having that available to the public at a very reasonable cost is super exciting. I'm Sarah Doherty, and I've recently started volunteering to come in and check tools and to fix those that need repair and make sure that the tools that are donated are in good working order.
I'm John Shea. We just started doing a lot of research, and eventually me and Piper, my girlfriend, took a cross-country motorcycle trip and went to tool lending libraries all over the U.S. And all of that information from that trip we brought back here and kind of just had like a potluck, and we just like open it up to like the community to like come and voice their opinions on what they would want out of a tool lending library. That first day, I think we signed up like 50 members or something our first night. Now we're at almost 500.
From WIPR in Baltimore, this is The Signal, where you've been listening to a special co-production of Aaron Henkin and music producer Wendell Patrick, Out of the Blocks, Station North. You can experience the project in its multimedia entirety, with audio, photography, and video at the MICA exhibition Locally Sourced. Locally Sourced also includes works from Paul O'Whaley, Nether, and Jason Hoylman, and it runs through September 21st at the Fred Lazarus Center, 131 West North Avenue. More information's at our website, wipr.org/programs/signal.